And that, of course, is Alice's Restaurant. We're not going to play the full edition now. Do stay tuned, though. Coming up in an hour, Doug Gertner has a very special Arlo Guthrie Thanksgiving Day Alice's Restaurant special at 9:30. But John Lendorf joining us now. Alice's Restaurant, of course, an iconic Thanksgiving Day song. Also a wonderful song about feasting together as well. And it's great to have you in the studio for Thanksgiving Day. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Maeve. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And, boy, it's a beautiful, beautiful Thanksgiving in our neighborhood. I hope it is in yours. And we're here again, together, at the table. And I don't know, I guess it's been about 20 years or maybe less that I somehow decided that I would make myself available on Thanksgiving to answer questions, last-minute cooking crises and philosophical questions from you, wherever you are in the world, whatever you're making right now for Thanksgiving.
Well, we invite your calls this morning to 303-442-4242, or you can email dj@kgnu.org. But Alice's Restaurant is also a theme of your weekly column on food this week as well.
And actually, this was for Sensi Magazine. That's my monthly column. I started thinking about the effect that Alice's Restaurant has had on my life anyway, and a lot of people's lives. You know, Thanksgiving used to be an extremely traditional family thing. And then sometime in the 1970s, it started to change and friends started getting together. And part of the impetus to that was Alice's Restaurant. So if you'll indulge me, I'm going to read a little bit of this column about how I came to be such a Thanksgiving kind of guy. Here it is. I come from Massachusetts, where where Thanksgiving was always a big deal. Pilgrims and Wampanoag Indians got together for a three-day harvest feast in 1621, about 50 miles from where I grew up. My feeling is that they learned to regret that almost immediately. But more importantly, I grew up just down the turnpike from Stockbridge, the town where Arlo Guthrie and a friend dumped the garbage in 1965. And that seminal moment sparked a folk song that would change Thanksgiving history. You remember the song. This song is called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's Restaurant is not the name of the restaurant. And when Alice's Restaurant Massacre debuted in 1967, the song immediately became an underground hit. For young males like me, approaching the age where we could be drafted into the military to fight in Vietnam, the song about questioning authority was a call to action as well as a cautionary tale. It was also about the communal nature of Thanksgiving. I grew up loving Thanksgiving, but it was primarily a family affair. And in the column, I go on to talk about how friends started getting together for Thanksgiving, and also that Thanksgiving is never a perfect event. Disasters happen. I talk about the time that I put the turkey out on the back porch after Thanksgiving because it was below freezing, and I thought, oh, that's a good safe place for it. And I came back in the morning to find that the raccoons had broken in and the carcass was scattered across the back lawn. Other times I've cut through the aluminum pan that the turkey's in, spilling juice all over everything. I guess it's my way of saying that, you know, I've been making Thanksgiving for a long time. I'm theoretically a professional, and it still scares me, and I think I'm ready for today. But if you have questions about cooking, then give us a call.
Well, we actually have calls coming in right now. And I do want to reassure listeners who have been calling me anxiously since 5:30 this morning. We will be playing Alice's Restaurant later. The music starts at 9:30 and Doug Gertner has got a great Arlo Guthrie special coming in.
Isn't it great how that such a weird song has become a ritual thing of for an American holiday? It's great.
Well, we are celebrating Thanksgiving here and the food and the fellowship that comes with that. We do have calls coming in. We have our first caller. You're live on KGNU this morning. Do you have a question or a comment or for anything to add to our Thanksgiving show? You're live on KGNU with John Lendorf. Good morning. Hello, it's you.
Hi.
Hi, welcome. You're live on KGNU this morning. Do you have a question for us?
Oh, that's great. And I'm crying. Sorry. I have to sit up. My mom just... I'm a long time. I can't pull my voice right now. But what I just heard was exceptional. Really.
Well, thank you for your call. And we know it's an emotional time for many people. And it can be a difficult time, John, for folks who have maybe lost somebody and are maybe not planning on celebrating Thanksgiving in a large way. Earlier today, I did read out a few different venues that will be hosting community Thanksgiving mm-hmm. events. The First Presbyterian Church in downtown Boulder is welcoming folks this afternoon. And at the Convention Centre in Denver, there's going to be hundreds of people gathering together for a Thanksgiving meal. And the doors open for that at 11 a.m.
I think that you can't celebrate Thanksgiving without embracing the loss. You can't look around the Thanksgiving table without thinking about the people that aren't there. As I was making stuffing last night, I was thinking about my mom and my sister and the times we had, you know, making Thanksgiving. And I think it's important not to pretend that that isn't part of the event. That they should be at our Thanksgiving. You know, we always try to remember those who had been there.
And you do that through the celebration of food and through some historic and iconic recipes that I know that you've shared with the listeners and readers of your columns over the years. One of them, of course, is your famous stuffing, John, and I believe you brought a sample with you today.
I did. And are you...
Well, talk us through it while you dish it up there, because, of course, we always like to eat live on the radio here. That's part of Radio Nibbles. But now this is your Italian sausage and potato stuffing, and you're sharing this photograph here.
Yes, this came out of the archives just the other day, and I you know, this is from, I'd say 1994, maybe, because there always was the ritual of peeling the potatoes. This family sausage and potato stuffing recipe came from Connecticut. My Sicilian grandmother picked it up from a French-Canadian woman who lived down the street, and it was based on a pork pie recipe. And basically, it's Italian sausage and mashed potatoes. And really, what's not to like? There's no bread, there's no celery, it's completely its own thing. If you'd like to know how to make that, my column this week in the Boulder Weekly has the recipe. But and I'm happy to say, because I've been writing about it for 40 years, there are people all over America who make my family's Italian stuffing. More people around America make the stuffing than members of my own family.
Well, it's an extended family at this point, John. You've invited us all into your family. Now, John has shared a photograph. Maybe we'll see if we can get this online a little bit later. It's your son, who looks like he's about 1 year old in this, and there's a pile of potatoes on the table and many hands peeling the potatoes. So this seems to be a communal family effort to get the stuffing ready on Thanksgiving Day.
And I'm happy to say that he's celebrating Thanksgiving up in Seattle with his girlfriend and some friends, and we talked the other day, and he's bringing stuffing because he said, well, it's good and it travels well, and you know, I like that kid.
Well, this stuffing is incredible. So there's no bread at all in this, which is actually good for those who are a bit gluten averse or wheat averse.
Yeah, as long as the sausage is...
Potatoes, sausage, what are some of the herbs that are in this?
Most of the herbs, most of the flavor there is just from the hot Italian sausage. So fennel and chili flakes. There's some garlic and salt and pepper, some sage.
It's absolutely delicious, John. Yeah. Kudos to your family.
But the ultimate stuffing, of course, as we know, and other people can call in and chime in on this, but this is going to be stuffing. That's when it's at its best, when it comes out of the bird.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask, because in and of itself is like a side dish, but it actually has another function, and that is you do stuff this in the bird.
Yes, and it picks up so much flavor and character there that it's almost a different dish. If it's on the side, as most people know, it's dressing. It's not stuffing because, well, it's not stuffed. But, you know, I don't want to get in a big debate.
So you cook this, and then do you cook it and then put it in the bird, or does it get kind of cooked while it's being roasted as it's stuffing?
Well, yeah, in essence, it gets cooked twice because you cook the sausage separately and, you know, peel the potatoes and boil them. But you try to underdo it. So this is, you know, once this will cook more and become more creamy and wonderful.
Well, this is very delicious. Now the sample you've given me here. Now you have a bit of cranberry on here.
No, it's not cranberry. It is blueberry relish from as some people know. I work for a caterer, they had a big batch of blueberry relish, I thought it was just lovely, so I brought some home.
It's delicious because sometimes I think cranberry can be so tart you have to have a lot of sugar with it. Mm-hmm. This is a little bit softer.
Yeah, and I love blueberry, you know, which of course gets into the whole pie area, but that's a separate issue.
Well, this is wonderful. Well, we have John Lendorf live in the studio here at KGNU on this Thanksgiving Day.
I got a question for you. What are you serving? What are you serving for Thanksgiving?
I don't serve anything. I just show up at other people's houses with the salad. That's my contribution to Thanksgiving, and I'm happy to do it. And a gluten-free pumpkin pie, I think that's also on my list.
You've adopted the joy of Thanksgiving into your life. You weren't born into it.
No, this is a completely new thing for me, but I do enjoy it. One of the reasons I enjoy it, although it is changing a bit now with Black Friday seeping into Thursday afternoon as well, is the non-commercial nature of Thanksgiving. And it's a time to really just get together and have good food and to be in company. And now I'm seeing, you know, more and more stores opening on Thursday afternoon. Yeah. And, you know, so that's seeping into it. But no, I did not grow up with Thanksgiving. It really is an American holiday. And
is there anything equivalent, though?
No, we're ungrateful folk in Ireland. We don't give thanks for a lot of things. No, we do have lots of holidays where we eat food and all get together. But no Thanksgiving holiday.
Nothing based strictly around gratitude.
No, not at all. But anyway, I'll show up and eat turkey anytime. So thank you very much. We do have some calls coming in. We'll see if we can go back to the phones now. You're live on KGNU this morning with John Lendorf. What's your question or comment?
Hello?
John?
Hello?
Hi, John.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving.
I think we're having some phone issues here. We're going to try and get that resolved in just a moment. But we do have lots to talk about this morning, including Thanksgiving rituals and an old Thanksgiving food section that you want to talk about. And this is about beer and Thanksgiving.
Just to show you that I have been doing this a long time. This is a food section from the Daily Camera from November 25th, 1992. And I bring it up because apparently at the time I found this great quote. The boat from England was Virginia bound when the passengers decided to land at Plymouth, Massachusetts in 1620, according to the Beer Drinkers of America. A passage in the diary of the Mayflower dated December 19th, 1620 notes, "We could not now take time for further search or consideration, our victuals being much spent, especially our beer." So, really, the whole thing came down to a good hearty British Isles ale.
Now, what are some of the rituals, aside from the family making the beautiful bread-free stuffing, the Italian stuffing that you've made? You know, what other Thanksgiving rituals have you got in your family, John?
In terms of the meal itself?
Yeah, the meal itself, well, and just the day.
What I mean, for me, it's, you know, actually part of my ritual is doing this here with you. it's become part of my Thanksgiving ritual. And obviously listening to Alice's Restaurant. I also put together a soundtrack, you know, kind of a playlist of songs that I like that I'll play during the meal. I don't play Alice's Restaurant during the meal because, you know, you end up listening to it and, you know, you want to focus on the meal. The other thing is it's not like any other meal. And you so seldom gather people around like that, but I like to take a minute at the beginning of it to kind of, you know, we all come from many spiritual backgrounds or lack thereof, but I think it's important to sort of welcome blessings into your life, like friends and family. Take that moment, and also I tend to ask people what they're thankful for around the table. Lord knows we got plenty of stuff to complain about. And on this day, let's, you know, I just try to focus on the wonderfulness.
Well, what's going to be on your menu for Thanksgiving?
Thanks for asking. So, for the first time ever, we're going to have two turkeys. And you're saying, why?
Yes, why John? Why John? And will they both be stuffed?
Yes, they will. And the reason for this is that my friend Laura is friends with a local farmer who really has had a very difficult year. Farmhouse burnt down and hailstorms, and but they did have a few turkeys left, but they were very small. And we decided to get one anyway. She decided to get one. And roast it. And she is a person of the bread stuffing persuasion anyway. She always brings bread stuffing in addition to my stuffing because everyone should have their own kind of stuffing, as you know, as far as I'm concerned. And so she's making that one. That's a heirloom heritage turkey. But it's very small. So I'm making another small turkey, which will have the extremely traditional Italian sausage and potato stuffing in it. And that way there'll be plenty of leftovers and plenty of bones to make soup from, because you don't want to waste anything from this big roasting event.
And what about some of the side dishes?
I've got roasted mushrooms, baked stuffed pasta, we've got pecan pie, Moroccan squash soup, a key lime pie, cranberry chow chow, which is kind of like a crunchier cranberry sauce.
How do you make it crunchier?
It's got celery and onions and cranberries in it, and it's sort of a southern specialty. And feel free to call us here at KGNU if you'd like to talk about what side dishes really should be at the event. Like, well, we don't want to talk about green bean casserole, but we can. A couple things I'm really looking forward to, three things that guests are bringing: a sweet potato bourbon bacon pecan casserole. Say that fast five times. Hatch chili corn pudding and spanakopita.
Ooh, that's not a Thanksgiving staple.
Yeah, well, what exactly is a Thanksgiving staple? You know, in my you know, my family was multi-ethnic in the legendary, you know, Thanksgivings of my childhood. We're in Connecticut, sitting around the table. There's these Sicilian immigrants. Some of the sisters married guys who were Polish American. My father was from Austria, and so there was kielbasa, and there was baked pasta, and there was turkey and stuffing and sweet potato pie. The beauty of Thanksgiving is it's all embracing nature, you know.
And so many families have brought their heritage to the meal as well.
Right, and I don't like Thanksgivings that are highly, somebody's in charge of it, and you just, you know, and they go, well, that doesn't really fit in with my menu. For me, everything fits in with my menu. You don't have to eat everything, but, you know, I do generally.
Well, I want more details on these roasted mushrooms, but I want to let listeners know we're having some issues with our phone. But if you email us a question or comment or a favourite recipe that you have, maybe some ideas that you're bringing to your Thanksgiving dinner, email dj@kgnu.org, dj@kgnu.org. Now, the roasted mushrooms, what kind of mushrooms?
A bunch of different ones. I've got some portobellos that were already sautéed, and I got a hold of some. God, I'm trying to remember the name of them. They're big and meaty and
portobellos.
No, these are more. These were more. In addition, these were more sort of more exotic, and I roasted those already. And but I also had some roasted garlic. So all of that's going to go together into a casserole. Of it's going to be like a big mouthful of umami, you know. Just and if you love those roasted, you know, mushroomy, garlicky flavors, then it'll be a joy. If you don't, well.
Well, let's talk about gravy, John, because is gravy going to be part of this? And I know this
of
is
course.
Something that can often trip people up, lumps in gravy, getting it thick enough. And you've got a story to share, or at least there's a wonderful quote by Nora Ephron.
Nora Ephron, for those of you who remember, wonderful, humorous writer, screenwriter, just a great person. What she says is, what I love about cooking is that after a hard day, there is something comforting about the fact that if you melt butter and add flour and then hot stock, it will get thick. It's a sure thing. It's a sure thing in a world where nothing is sure. It has a mathematical certainty. And that's all you really need to know about making gravy. Nobody makes gravy anymore, but they make gravy on Thanksgiving, and it terrifies them, along with pies and many other things. So you melt butter in a pan and sprinkle flour on it. You let it simmer, you know, sizzle. You move it around.
See, this is where the lumps come in.
No, this is what you're making roux. That's all. You're getting the oil to combine with the flour. Then to that, you add hot stock, not cold stock, you know, broth, and start to, you know, use a whisk or something and start to work in the liquid. And you get your desired thickness. And then sometimes you need to thin it back out again. It's not an exact science.
This seems to be something you have to pay a lot of attention to, that you have to constantly stir.
Yeah, but you're in the kitchen anyway.
And you're listening to KGNU.
That's right.
Well, we have a listener, Lynn, actually emailed in to ask, chanterelle, is that the mushroom that you're going to be roasting, John?
No, I think they're lobster mushrooms. But chanterelles would be beautiful. You wouldn't want to, chanterelles are kind of delicate. So, you know, there's some mushrooms where you don't want to do too much to them. But to answer a question that wasn't asked, but... No, we've never had roasted mushrooms at Thanksgiving before. It just seemed like the thing to do today.
Well, it sounds delicious. Well, in terms of some of the other things that happen around the dinner table, aside from eating, we've done a lot of programming on KGNU in our conflict resolution series around how this can be a time that can be a little bit fraught when you have different family members coming together who maybe are of different political persuasions.
You mean, should you talk about raking
should
the forest?
Should you talk about raking the forest? Rake America great again. Is that on the subject, do you think? Do you think that should be something discussed at the table?
Well, you have to have a sensitive grasp as a host of the political persuasions of your guests. As well as maybe their religious persuasions. For many people, it's kind of like a negotiated peace, and they put people at opposite ends of the table. For some people, you know, arguing about politics is part of the tradition of Thanksgiving. But my general feeling is that, you know, we spend all day, every day, arguing about politics and worrying about it and thinking about it, and that you might want to think about, you know, leaving that maybe for after the pie, you know, when you're sitting around, especially in terms of the kids that are at the table, because these kids are like the little me, you know, or the little Hans. Sitting around the table when you're 2 or 5 or 12, and you're getting this sense of what adults, how adults feast and celebrate, and you're going to leave them with this impression. And if it's people screaming at each other, it's not so good.
That's what I often think. You're really making memories. You know, if you think of your own childhood and those celebrations that stand out, that's what you're passing on to your kids. We've had another email from a listener who's making a pecan pie, but they're integrating a bunch of recipes and they're wondering, will orange and bourbon cancel one another?
No, no, not at all. I think those are complementary. The only catch with the, I mean, I'm assuming you're using a recipe, but the only catch with the bourbon is sometimes people overdo it, which can make the pie too boozy, which can be okay if you like that kind of thing. But it can also make the pecan pie runny. But no, I'd say, I'm assuming it's probably orange zest or a little bit of orange juice.
Yeah, well, we absolutely have several emails coming in. One lady saying, thanks for doing your show. When is the song Alice's Restaurant going to be played? 9:30 this morning. That's when Doug Gertner is going to be starting the morning,
you know,
sound.
With the 8x10 color glossy photos and the circles and the arrows in the back of each one.
Yeah. Well, we have a shout out from friends of yours listening online from Massachusetts. Hello, John. And that is Bob and Cher. So big thank you to them and happy Thanksgiving. And another couple of questions here. A vegan Thanksgiving question, because somebody's going to a friend's house for Thanksgiving and they're vegan and they're bringing vegan pumpkin pies. They're also bringing their own turkey as they're having tofurkey. Anyway, they found a vegan pie recipe online that uses coconut milk instead of evaporated milk. They're going to try that. Any advice on vegan pumpkin pies, or indeed any vegan-related recipes for Thanksgiving?
No, I mean, I think that's great, and I think it's great that all the meat eaters at the table will get to try those. I think you probably mean coconut cream as opposed to coconut milk for the pie, and that should work just fine and taste great. You know, thanks, especially the side dishes, vegan is easy, you know.
Do your mushroom casserole.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there are so many wonderful memories of John Lendorf and Thanksgiving. He shares a lot of those memories in the monthly column in Cincy Magazine, but also in the weekly column from the Boulder Weekly. And it is 9 o'clock here at KGNU Boulder, Denver and Fort Collins. And John, very happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. I'm so grateful for all the knowledge that you shared over the years.
And I'm grateful for my family, for my friends, for Maeve, for, you know, the folks who emailed in from far off places. I love you. And I thank you for being part of our Thanksgiving.
Thank you, John. It's 9 o'clock. This is KGNU.